coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast. Both the PGA and the Korn Ferry Tour had their regular season finales, lots of tour car drama and sudden death drama as well, plus a big win for the podcast. Plus, we're tuned into everything outside of sports, including a new HBO doc and a band for the ages. And this week's guest is Jennifer McCurrick. She's the director of the First Tee Austin. I told you about my visit a little bit on last week's episode. We can dive into the program, learn all about the First Tee and the campus and more. And we always end with food. All of it brought to you by our friends at City Bonfires. Mike, hey, great news, breaking news, which I did not tell you earlier. We had our first purchase with promo code COLFIRE. So people get it. You know, these bonfires are really portable, really reusable. And that's the key. You can take them anywhere. You know, there's not a lot of fires that you can take wherever you like, you know, unfortunately. But this is one of them.
Not a fire that will work to actually get you some s'mores, because a lighter will let you take fire, but it doesn't. It's not going to do the same thing here. It's
right,
not going
to work so for you. Easy to light with a stick lighter, easy to put out as well. You can put it in your beach bag, backpack, throw it out over your favorite overlook, or use it for a nighttime practice session as well, too. Yeah, and like you said, don't forget s'mores. This is the moneymaker for s'mores or any great summer, fall s'mores night coming your way from the City Bonfire. Our promo code COLFIRE, again, to get 10% off of any order on the website. Check out City Bonfires today.
Interwebs, and welcome to Course of Life, part of the Morning Read podcast network. We are proud to be presented by our friends at Desert Fox Golf and Tosi Snacks. I'm Michael, he's Alex. And Alex, we've been saying it all season. It was the year of the playoff, and it did not disappoint with a six-man playoff to end the Wyndham Championship in the regular season of the PGA Tour.
Insane.
It's just, you know, I don't know how else to put it. This whole golf year has just been crazy.
Yeah, there's been lots of playoffs. There's been playoffs with weird players who you don't expect to be in a playoff. Mm. There's been short ones, long ones that threatened to go to Monday but didn't. This one was just jam-packed. It was almost seven guys. I texted you as it was frantically happening a little earlier than normal on Sunday. They moved the tee times up to accommodate whether they came in, got things in just fine. But it was throwing darts towards the end for all these guys that were feasting near the top of the leaderboard. And I can't even name all the guys that were in the playoff.
Yeah, I can let you know right now.
It was jam-packed.
Here we go. I got the list for you. It was Siwoo Kim, Roger Sloan, Brendan Grace, Kevin Na, our boy,
yes,
Adam Scott, and the eventual winner, Kevin Kisner.
Yeah, so Kevin Na was walking in putts left and right, which was fun to see. He was taken off so early, Mike. He would have loved a couple of them.
He was leaving before he even hit the putt. He was walking toward the hole.
Yeah, just a horrible fall through, but it doesn't matter. Yeah. It's still going in anyway, so you walk it in. And Adam Scott had a four-footer on the 72nd hole, or the first sudden death hole, pardon me, to win, which he stoinked. That was a tough blow for him. And one of my picks, Mike, I had Webb Simpson, who ended up finishing a shot off. Russell Henley moved himself out of that playoff in the last hole. But Kevin Kisner, the Bulldog, hanging around, hasn't had a ton of really high finishes this season, but has consistently made cuts and played himself into weekends. At a 33-1 odds this past week, I picked him, and he ended up coming through with an amazing shot on playoff hole number two, just sticking it super close. And that's how you get it done when you're in a jam-packed playoff.
Yeah, typically it's all about shot making when you want to win a playoff, because we know what happens when you just both make shots or you don't make bad shots and you just play for 8-9, you know, you play a whole other round of 18.
Ours pretty just don't much. Do it. Yeah. Don't do it. Yeah.
So Kevin Kisner ends up taking a win. This was his third or fourth win, I think, of his career.
Correct. Yeah, I think the last one, honestly, was the match play victory 2019 in front of me. So it's been a little bit for him, even though he does feast around contention when he gets into good form. A lot of people on the internet are asking for him to be on the Ryder Cup. I agree. I think he's the great type of player that has great match play experience. Like I just mentioned, he could be perfect for this team. He's got a lot of good rapport with veteran players, younger players. He's a popular locker room guy. So I definitely am looking to see him on the Team USA Ryder Cup schedule. And I'm glad he hit the form when he did, and I'm glad I called it. So my fourth win officially on the PGA Tour calendar here in 2021, getting a 33-1 winner with Kevin Kisner. Nice job, and drinks for all who had that pick from Wednesday.
Yeah, I mean, congrats on getting a winner before I could again this season. So good for you. Who I don't think, though, we may see on a Ryder Cup is Justin Rose. Do you think we're going to see Justin Rose in the Ryder Cup after what he did?
Nice little pot shot. This guy had a rough little weekend this past weekend.
Bogey's 18 on Sunday to drop out of the top 125. He will not be playing in the FedEx Cup playoffs. That's not what you want to do.
Yeah, I'm sure knowing him, like, you know, his life is fine. So he's just going to vacation, spend time with the family. So I don't think he's, maybe a week later, he's not super brokenhearted, but you have to be upset with the way he finished, because it was right there for him to sneak into the playoffs, and anything can happen from there in the FedEx Cup format. So he misses out big time falling out of the top 125. But the story we have to get to is Chesson Hadley sneaking into that spot number 125 and getting into the playoffs, securing his card, but doing it with an ace on the final round. His first hole in one, Mike. What a great way to have your first hole in one when you need it the most.
I mean, if you're going to do it right. So it's a good way to do it.
Yeah, spun it back into the cup. He freaked out. I will give him credit. He had a lot more vertical on his jump than Phil's jump in the 2004 Masters. It was actually a decent jump. Not bad. Not quite Jordan Spieth travelers holding out the bunker shot level height, but decent height from Chesson Hadley on the jump celebration for the ace. And glad to see him sneak in and have that wonderful moment where he was very emotional after and talked about what this means for him. He loves his job. He wants to keep doing what he does on the PGA Tour, and he's going to have that opportunity for another year.
Well, we'll see what his chances are at Liberty National starting on Thursday. We'll get to everything happening when the playoffs start in just a moment. But let's flip the card over to the Korn Ferry Tour side of it, because two past guests in contention here, and we got some good news out of it.
Well, yeah, it was the regular season finale on the Korn Ferry Tour as well. So we finally got to crown and give out the tour cards for the 25. And it's crazy, Mike. This is how long the Korn Ferry season is going. Back in early COVID, when we interviewed a couple of Korn Ferry Tour players by the name of Dylan Wu and Taylor Montgomery, the season was still going. This is a 2-year super season that was over 50 tournaments long, but they finally made it to the end of the road. And our boy Dylan Wu found his way into the top 25. He secured it a couple weeks ago, but it was officially handed to him now. Dylan Wu, a 2021-2022 PGA Tour member.
It's fantastic. We're going to have to get him back on the podcast just so we can congratulate him and see how everything else is going and see what else he's got cooking for him.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing I'm really excited about that I needed to get out here is, if you're not following Dylan Wu right now, you actually don't have to be into golf at all to follow Dylan Wu. I'd say he posts about 20% golf content, and the rest is just the awesome trips he takes with his fiance and the amazing restaurants they go to everywhere he plays. They are awesome at finding the best spots. So if you're looking for a good foodie follow out there, don't only just follow Always In with Food Pod, where you can find our food pictures, but shameless follow Dylan Wu for a good time. I would look forward, really, more than anything, to just see all the restaurants he hits on these new PGA Tour destinations for him. So that'll be fun to watch.
Yeah, you know, it's certainly a step up in terms of maybe the venue and what you can get into now that you're on the PGA Tour, plus just the food he's going to get on tour, as we saw from Mark Baldwin being on the tour for a weekend.
Yeah, so that's right. So Dylan Wu and his fiance, maybe they do the like the filet mignons now they can go for like the tomahawk, you know the steak they take out on the platter. Yep. That's like $100. That it's time for those now.
We're gonna do a little Salt Bay action at the end there too.
Yes, right, love it.
And then of course we still have to talk about Taylor Montgomery as well in his season. Not maybe as good as a result, but he's still got some chances.
Yeah, no, that is the nice part about this. Obviously, the poor news being he falls out, got bumped at the last second by Austin Smotherman, quite literally finished number 26, Mike. That's a hard pill to swallow, definitely. He was in the top 25 for most of this super season. But regardless, he's going to have another swing at it in the Korn Ferry Tour Finals coming up. So he'll have another look at getting this PGA Tour card soon. I don't think it's going to be long. We've profiled Taylor here on the podcast, and a lot of past guests have also played with him and can back up everything that we've said about how great of a putter, player, and guy he is. So looking forward to seeing Taylor Montgomery's name a lot, not only on Korn Ferry leaderboards, but definitely on the PGA Tour soon.
And really both these guys on the Korn Ferry Tour and really almost anyone on the Korn Ferry Tour really embodies a lot of those first tee
values, nine cores.
Thank you. Thinking specifically around perseverance and confidence in your game, that you're in the right place at the right time and you will get to where you want to go and just keep going even when things get in your way. So
I got to say that again. We had a 50 plus event season on the Korn Ferry Tour.
It's a long season.
Through an entire pandemic. Okay. They started this in early 2020 before COVID. That is grinding right there. Mm-hmm. You know, not knowing the uncertainty of the season and what's going to happen with the way the world is and being at it for that long and on the road away from your family amidst this entire time. Like, you know, while we were all kind of like being safe and watching our P's and Q's and like limiting what we did and where we went, these guys were out grinding on the road every single week the whole time when they could. So shout out to the Korn Ferry and especially the 25 and everyone else who's been out there grinding.
Let's look ahead to the start of the FedEx Cup playoffs. It's the Northern Trust at Liberty National in Jersey City. It's time to start the 15th FedEx Cup playoffs here. We're in the 15th year of this already. Yeah. It's been going on for a while. And this will be the last year at Liberty National as well, at least for now.
I'm not in love with that. Listen, I don't really think Liberty National is a super standout course, like from a course perspective, but that's just such a beautiful setting. It's just such a perfect setting to start the playoffs there, you know, quite literally with the Statue of Liberty and the New York City skyline overlooking. You know, I'm not the biggest like New York guy in the world, but that is a very fitting venue to start the PGA Tour playoff. So, you know, we're going to see obviously where it moves, but I will miss that aspect because there's some great vistas out there for all the view fans out here.
That said, it's the first event and it's FedEx Cup playoffs. So you have all the best players in the world playing for the next 3 weeks. Jon Rahm, Jordan Spieth, Brooks Koepka, DJ, gold medalist Xander Schauffele.
Yes, that's right.
So, yeah. I mean, a lot of names out there. And I just feel like this is his year. I feel like it's Harris English this year.
It has been Harris English's year. Two wins and close on a third, if he didn't kind of blow it a week or two ago. He's been playing very well. And yeah, again, this is just about temporary form and being hot for a very temporary period of time here. We've seen a lot of guys come from seemingly nowhere in the FedEx Cup playoff picture to win themselves a lot of money and even win the FedEx Cup. So just because you see guys in the top 3, 5, or 10 right now, don't take too much stock into where they are. There's a lot of fluctuation and movement with the points. You mentioned a lot of the top guys that are going to be in action. They're all going to be there. Brooksy, that storyline continues on as well. Maybe into the playoffs. We'll see where that takes things. I have a feeling that we're finally going to get the Brooks-Bryson pairing. I don't know if it's this week. I just have a feeling it's going to happen in the FedEx Cup playoffs. That's my weird random prediction for the next few weeks.
I'm looking forward to it, you know, which just needs to happen. The PGA Tour needs to make this happen. I will literally pay money to make this happen.
I would too if we were able to. If they just started like a fund to make it happen, I'd throw a dollar in as well too. Pick wise, again, going back to the hits, I'm playing the hits.
Yeah.
It's also Colin Morikawa's year too. Hello.
That's true.
We forgot about that. Like,
that's true.
This guy's on top of the world right now. He didn't quite have the performance that he wanted to in Tokyo. But nonetheless, he's rested now after that. Home, week off, time to refocus. He's going to be a threat in the next few weeks. So I'm probably adding him to my card on Twitter this week at Course of Life 1 and you're at MWRINC to see where our full picks are for playoffs week 1.
I got to get back on the horse after you notch another victory. So I'm looking forward to loading next week.
You've got three events in my mind to kind of tie me here before maybe.
Oh, no, I'm going to beat you.
Okay. I like that. He's calling you right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to win two of the next three and hoist my trophy.
We've been sniffing around a lot of wins recently. So again, follow us on Twitter for those picks coming Wednesday evening for the Northern Trust, New York City.
Let's switch over to Tuned In, where we share what we're tuning into outside of the world of sports. We both got some films in our repertoire for this week. You got something new over there on HBO. What you watching?
Yeah, that's right. I watched something new and trendy. Can you believe that? I'm always so behind on all this stuff that streams, Mike. So I was immediately gravitated because big MTV fan here growing up, big Total Request Live fan, watched that, ate up all the MTV programming in the late 90s, early 2000s.
When they played music.
When they actually played music videos, yeah. Yes, for hours and hours of the day. So I vividly remember being 12 years old and watching the coverage of the 1999 Woodstock Festival.
Yes.
They brought that to life. Now, there's been some iterations of it in the past, but this full-length documentary that just came out in the last couple of weeks on HBO takes a really cool look at the entire planning, making of the festival, things that went right and things that went very wrong during the festival weekend. But it's a great nostalgia weekend. I mean, geez, Mike, you know, Korn, DMX, Limp Bizkit, Alanis Morissette, Jewel, the lineup was all over the place. It was quite the weekend to behold in this documentary.
Yeah, it's and what was your takeaway here? Was this a successful music festival back then? Because I seem to remember that it wasn't, that it was really kind of panned.
Yes. So it was a successful music festival for the legacy that it left. But the actual event itself ended up being very dangerous come Sunday night. There were fires in the crowd, quite literally. You can follow all the crime and drama that went down during the course of the weekend. It looked a little fire festival-ish to bring around a recent term that we all remember from a couple years ago. Definitely check out the 99 Woodstock documentary. If you love that MTV TRL era remembrance of your earlier life like I do, then definitely check that out. It's a good watch.
Let's keep this music theme going with what I watched. Watched 4 3-minute movie reviews. Shameless plug.
Nice.
Watched Tenacious D in The Pick of Destiny.
Now, that's been around for a while, right? This is not new.
This movie was like 2006, I think it was. Of course, the show was on before that. So Tenacious D was around for a while before that. And I've actually never seen any, you know, I've heard of Tenacious D. I've seen their music. I've heard some of their music. I've never seen the movie or watched the show. So this was the first time actually watching it. And it was exactly what you'd think it would be from Jack Black.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I was surprised to find, I just did a quick look and that band's been in existence for over 25 years.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome for the kind of lifestyle they portray. And for the kids at home who have never heard of Tenacious D and don't even know what we're saying right now, you know who Jack Black is. And Jack Black is actually in a band where he actually creates music and he's been doing it for a while, in addition to the movies that you know and see him.
I mean, so, if you've watched Jack Black in a movie, then you kind of know Tenacious D music because that's exactly what he does in the band.
Yes, he essentially spits out long songs and turns them into band music for Tenacious D.
That's exactly what it is.
And that's the music we're tuned, very music-filled, tuned in this week.
It is. But for now, let's switch over to this week's guest. Alex, as you said at the top, and as we constantly say on this podcast, we're big friends of the First Tee. In fact, we went ahead and made the First Tee of Greater Austin our official charity. And last week, you talked about your visit to the First Tee of Greater Austin. And this week we get to hear a little bit more about it.
Yeah, I mean, this is really cool, Mike, because I remember you and I having this conversation being like, you know what? We want to kind of get back and just kind of bring awareness to something that's personal to us, that we're not taking a dime for it. We want to support an organization we truly believe in. And this was just a natural step because of this being a golf theme podcast. The First Tee is an organization that everyone has known and knows for a long time as being great for underprivileged kids and giving kids an opportunity to learn the game of golf in a very friendly way. And as soon as we partnered up with them, they've been nothing but great friends to us. So I want to reiterate that. I had the joy of going out there last week and highlighted that a little bit. Be sure to check out the YouTube video of my visit as well too on the Course Life YouTube. But it was really awesome to go out there and got to record this great conversation as well with their director.
Yep. So that conversation with the First Tee of Greater Austin director, Jennifer McCurick. Did I say that right?
Yeah, pretty good. Yeah. Nice work.
See? We'll be up in just a moment. But first, as always, this interview is brought to you by Desert Fox Golf, our friends of the show and the makers of the Phone Caddy. The Phone Caddy lets you strap your phone right onto the side of your golf cart so it's easy to view and use all day long. No more fumbling around the dark spaces of your golf cart, dropping your phone on the seat, or even worse, onto the grass as you drive away. The Focus Caddy keeps you locked in safely so you can stay locked into your round. It'll be the talk of your foursome and a great gift for any golfer in your life. And for our listeners, you can save 10% off your purchase of a phone caddy with the promo code COURSEOFLIFE. It comes in a range of colors, and you can even show your support with their patriotic line. So head on over to DesertFoxGolf.com to get your phone caddy. And don't forget to use the promo code COURSEOFLIFE to save 10%. Again, that's promo code COURSEOFLIFE at DesertFoxGolf.com.
Next up on the tee, we've got the executive director of our friend, The First Tee at Greater Austin. You hear us talk about our friends at The First Tee and the nine core values every week on the podcast. And today I'm out on the campus experiencing it all, joined by Jennifer McCura, who runs the show. Jennifer, how are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful. It's a gorgeous day out here.
It is. Yes, absolutely. I'm glad I got good weather. We've had a surprisingly fickle weather system for the summer in Texas. It's usually pretty predictable. There's been a lot of New England rain here. I know, it's the last few months.
I know, it's incredible. We usually don't see rain at all. Usually the weatherman can pretty much clock out in the summertime because it's 100 degrees. You know, it's 85 in the morning and 100 degrees the rest of the day for 2 months.
It's been a little bit more unpredictable, to say the least. But let's talk about the facility that we're at right now. It's the Harvey Pienick Golf Center. And talk to me about the origin of First Tee Austin. I know you've been around it since pretty much its inception, and how the origin of First Tee Austin relates to this facility that we're at today.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, Harvey Pienick is, you know, one of three World Golf Hall of Fame members associated with Austin, Texas, besides Ben Crenshaw and Tom Kite, yep. And actually Pete Dye, because he also designed the Austin Country Club. So we always thought that Harvey kind of was First Tee before First Tee, you know, because he taught, you know, life skills while he was working with his students. We started the chapter in 99, fall of 99. We were one of the first generations of chapters to come on board. We were growing like crazy. We were using City of Austin facilities. Unfortunately, we kind of outgrew the access we were able to get at those facilities. We had a really unique opportunity with the YMCA, who had this land donated to them. And we reached out to them. One of their board members was a golf nut, and he said, hey, this is a perfect marriage. Our missions align so much.
Nice.
It took about a year of courting each other. You know, the YMCA had been around 100 years. We'd been around like five. But it worked. PGA Tour Design Services donated the layout. It was a raw piece of land. It was good use of land that wasn't being used. There's an old county landfill on part of it. About three quarters of it's in a floodplain. So it's a great community asset on a piece of land that otherwise probably wouldn't get developed.
Definitely. I love putting it to its best use like that. And you mentioned Harvey Pienick himself. This is the golf center directly next to the YMCA we're at. Talk to me about his legacy. A lot of people maybe don't know him outside of the city of Austin. A legendary instructor, had the famous saying, take dead aim, and taught some of the most historic Austin golfers like you mentioned. Tell me more about kind of what he means to Austin and how that kind of resonates with the First Tee program as well, too.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate that his legacy has somewhat faded, you know, with Tom Kite and Ben Crenshaw not quite as active.
Right.
You know, Harvey, like you said, was First Tee before First Tee. He, not only did he teach Tom and Ben, but he taught plenty of other golfers, you know, or normal people like you and I, but also celebrities and other professional golfers. And, you know, he really instilled life skills in everybody kind of playing their own game, instead of trying to model somebody else's game and or try to be somebody else off the golf course too. And, you know, it really resonated with what we were trying to do here. And we wanted to kind of honor his legacy in Austin. And, you know, it's great because we hand out the little red book to our students.
Oh, cool.
You know, nice and it's an easy read. I find a lot of parents reading it too. I believe it's still the number one sports book of all time.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
It was at a time. I'm not sure.
It's had the longevity,
still,
that's for sure. Yeah. The little red book.
Yeah. I'm not sure if it still is, but it's got to be up there. So it still gets passed around a lot. So
that's cool.
we're excited about.
I love hearing that his legacy definitely shines on in the Little Red Book. I haven't thought about that in a while. Cool golf memory there as well from a lot of childhoods for those who have been in the game for a while. Let's talk about the camps and different programs specifically that are offered here at the First Tee Austin and First Tee programs in general. A lot of people may be under the misinterpretation that this is maybe just the place where someone gets their first lesson or introductory to the game, which it can be, but talk to me about the different camp programs that are run, not only just during the summer, but year round too.
Yeah, we're a local chapter of a national organization. So the one thing that runs consistent with all First Tees is our curriculum. You know, unless one was developed last night, we're the only sports organization that also has a life skills curriculum that means just as much as the golf. So students, to get to different levels of proficiency, have to pass the life skills and the golf skills test. We're really lucky that we're one of the few chapters that own and operate a golf course. It's open during the public to the public during the day, you know, mostly during the school year. You don't see as many kids because obviously they're in school. But in the summertime, you know, obviously we're super busy with summer camps. This summer has been exceptionally busy. You know, we're one of the few activities that are kind of COVID friendly, if there is such a thing. You know, we have socially distance already built into our sports, so you don't get your teeth knocked out.
Yes.
You know, it's outside. You know, everybody kind of chases their own ball, so we're not on top of each other. Everybody has their own equipment. I mean, it just kind of aligns perfectly. So we've seen a lot of new families come to golf, which we're super excited about, and we hope that we can retain them.
That's awesome. So let's talk about the life skills aspect of the First Tee, because we highlight this every week, and it's specifically the 9 core values. I'll read them off quickly and ask for your favorite. It's honesty, integrity, sportsmanship, respect, confidence, responsibility, perseverance, courtesy, and judgment. Which one stands out or means the most to you maybe right now?
The one, the top of the alphabet, confidence, because I really feel like if we can instill confidence in a young person, they can do anything. And that's the most important one, I think.
Nice. Love that. One that we end up highlighting a lot when it pertains to golf. We end up coming back to the word perseverance a lot when we talk about the best players in the world trying to win tournaments, or we talk about players that are on the cusp of being a professional and trying to gain status and make a career in the game and how they're persevering. And when you talk about and look at these kids and the people that are part of the First Tee programs, what does perseverance mean to you as a 9 core value in golf?
Yeah, I think perseverance is the one they learn the quickest. And the reason being is as soon as they tee off on that first tee for their first tournament or for their first round of golf, they realize it's all them.
Yeah.
You know, the coach isn't putting in a stud player to help you out. There isn't a teammate to help you out. You are on a solo mission for that 9 holes or that 18 holes.
Love that. Let's talk about how these get mixed in. People are probably listening and wondering if they want to get their kid or family member involved in the First Tee program, how the golf lessons and the life lessons are mixed in during the course of, say, a day at camp. How does that work?
Yeah, so the Austin chapter was actually instrumental in getting the life skills curriculum even built. And so when we did it in our RFP to organizations that did that type of work, it was very simple. We wanted something fun and we wanted something seamless. So the kids go out and play, and during the course of their playing and their on-course activities, we try to tie in what's their goals on the golf course, at home, and at school. And so if their aspiration is to make their high school team, it might be building a goal ladder. Well, part of building that goal ladder is I've got to get good enough grades so I'm eligible for the high school team. And so build that goal ladder for my schoolwork, build that goal ladder for my golf work. And then, hey, how's everything going at home? Well, I'm not getting along with my little brother. Okay, well, in order to do well in school and on the golf course, you know, you want to have positive relationships too. So let's build a goal ladder for getting along with your little brother. So it's all done seamlessly and it's all done in a fun atmosphere.
I love that. That's cool. I love the way that's weaved in. So let's talk about what I'm going to be doing today and seeing the campus, playing the 9-hole course. I'm going to get in some other fun activities as well, but talk to me about who I'm playing with today. You don't have to mention them specifically, but they're just an example of the great ambassadors that you have here for the First Tee Austin program. Talk to me about kind of the lineage and how kids grow through this program and grow up to end up being, you know, counselors and look over these kids now.
Well, as you know, Alex, and probably everybody listening who are golfers, you know, golf isn't anything that we master. You know, we don't peak when we're 12 or 13. And so
there's no perfect round, Tanner.
Exactly. You know, personally, I'm still waiting to peak.
Yeah.
And so it's an ongoing program. And so, you know, there is no reach the end of it. So once even a student even graduates from high school and they go on to college, you know, they're still working on the same things that they did when they were in elementary school or middle school in the program. So today you're teeing up with two of our alumni. One of them, both of them are college golfers.
Oh boy.
One of them was supposed to play at St. Ed's, but unfortunately during COVID, they lost their program. So Now she's attending UTSA.
Okay.
And then one of them playing with a young man who's a current high school golfer here at Austin High.
Nice.
All of them have been in the program or were in the program for over 8 years, probably 9 years. And they are perfect examples of, you know, first tee kids.
Love that. I may have to wrap this conversation quickly and get a few extra rain balls in now knowing who I'm playing out there with today, but it's going to be fun nonetheless. We're here with Jennifer McCurr, Executive Director of First Tee Austin. You can follow First Tee on all the socials as well too. Let's talk about how, if people want to get themselves more involved, run through the different ways that people can A, look into getting a kid or family member enrolled in a program or just give back to the association as well.
Yeah. One thing that's really cool about golf, it's so inclusive. You know, so this is boys and girls. This is all ages. We start as early as 5 to 17. You can join, and it's an individual sport, so it's okay for a 13-year-old to come start golf. You know, with other sports, you know, it's kind of passed you by if you haven't gotten involved with it at a very young age.
Right.
So that's the number one thing. Secondly, you can go to our website, firstteeaustin.org, and sign up for any of our programs. You can reach out to myself or Derek, our programming manager here on site. We're always looking for volunteers. You know, and you don't have to be the most proficient golfer in Austin to volunteer with us. We actually prefer people that just are interested in getting involved with kids, and you actually get the opportunity to participate with the kids in the program. I'm guaranteed you at least cut two shots off your game if you come out and volunteer with us.
Okay, good to know. I'll keep that in my back pocket, definitely. One of the other cool activities I love that we have here, and growing the game is about golf, but also kind of different ways to introduce concepts in golf, and that's the foot golf course. This is something I'm not familiar with. I kicked a soccer ball through my entire childhood, and I've played golf my entire life. I don't know how this is going to come together for me. What's the missing piece? Is there a secret to foot golf? And what do I need to know going into this?
Well, just like real golf, the putting is the hardest.
Yeah.
You know, kicking away is easy. The putting is the hardest, you know, because especially even for soccer players, because they're just used to booting it, right? In putting, you have to play the topography of the land and you have to get the right speed and stuff. So the putting is the most challenging for even the most skilled players. But, you know, we put in a foot golf course because it's a lot like golf. It is very inclusive. You know, we say if you can kick it, you can play.
Yeah.
It's social. You can walk with each other and play. It's outdoors. You know, it's family fun. And then also in doing my research, there's a huge a soccer culture here too.
There is. We just got a brand new soccer team here as well.
Yeah. And they love it as an extra activity. They do it for team building for their teams. They do it just for social activities. And it's a lot of fun. And our campers love it too, because sometimes we have them play to the foot golf holes with a golf ball, because it's a much bigger tub, so it's a good way for them to work on their short games.
I'm going to get in touch with a couple of people I know at Austin FC, see if we can get them out here a little bit more often.
Yeah.
That'd be fun to have them out here. Awesome. And the final question we love to ask our guests, I'm going to put you on the spot. When you finish your round of golf, I know you're struggling for that great round all the time, just like all of us out there. What's your go-to at the 19th hole, your favorite meal and drink that you love to order at the end of a long day on the course?
Oh, definitely the burger. Every golf course has a signature burger, and they usually have a signature craft beer or local beer, but those are my two favorites.
Yeah, that's as American and Texan as it gets right there.
Yep.
Great answer. Jennifer, thank you so much for having us here at the campus today and highlighting the first tee in the programs, and looking forward to getting out there today.
Yeah, thank you, Alex.
And we're back. Great chat there with Jennifer. I love how she really brought foot golf into the Austin campus, and that really is a great way to make the game a lot more approachable for people that maybe are interested in the game of golf, but just don't want to invest a lot of money in it or aren't sure how they're really going to feel about it. Because as we've said a lot of times, and why we like the first tee and why we like to give to them is it, golf is a difficult game to enter. So if you reduce some of those barriers, like they're able to do with something like foot golf, it really helps get more people into the game.
Yeah, and I'm fascinated with all these different avenues now that we've showcased them a lot on the program. Everything from first tee foot golf to pop stroke to guys that swing golf clubs with one arm just because they don't want to use two hands. You know what I mean? There's a million ways to make golf your thing and customize it to make it what you love and how you love the game. So I appreciate Jennifer for being insightful and thinking outside the box and turning the campus into what it is and obviously running the camps there so well. So again, check out the First Tee and First Tee Greater Austin at their website. If you want to donate and be a part, you can learn about our partnership there on the First Tee Austin's website as well. And this won't be the last visit, Mike. I'm definitely going back for sure. So yeah, more content to come, and follow us on social for more tidbits from the visit.
Let's talk a little football. It's preseason. We had actual football games this past weekend.
Yes, I'm overly excited. It's so weird. Every year if this happens to me.
As usual, could care less right now.
I mean, these games are so meaningless too, but I am just locked into every down. Last Thursday night was the first battle of Mac Jones versus Cam Newton to see who's the Patriots' starting quarterback. Mixed reviews, but I will say, Mac Jones, Gillette Stadium crowd, standing ovation when he came into his first preseason game at the end of the first quarter. So that tells you where their emotions lied in terms of the fan base. He had a pretty good first outing. So we'll stay tuned for the next couple weeks. Early edge to Mac, but I still think it's Cam Newton's job to lose. It was just fun to see some of the other rookies in action. You know, Trevor Lawrence from Clemson, the guy with the surfer dude hair. He debuted for the Jaguars. Got to see Justin Fields from Ohio State play for the Bears. So just getting those first looks at your new, fresh, young rookie quarterbacks.
And of course, I know that what you also always love to talk about is Hard Knocks, because especially since they're featuring my least favorite NFL team, the Dallas Cowboys.
Yes, that's right. I had to sneak these Hard Knocks tidbits in for you because I needed to get your opinions on this. When we talk about Hard Knocks, we actually don't even talk about the football at all. I love that the show profiles everything outside of the game within the relationships of these teams and players and coaches and whatnot. So the first thing we got to get to from the first episode of the Cowboys Hard Knocks is, Mike, I got to ask you, how are your gift wrapping skills? How do you do when it comes to wrapping a present?
I'm not the best. I'm probably about average, I would say. Maybe a little above average.
Yeah, maybe. I'm average to below average. It's fairly sloppy on my end. I get made fun of by all my parents, even into my mid-30s now, for how poor my wrapping is. But it's still 10 times better than Ezekiel Elliott's wrapping of gifts. Mike, this was an absolute atrocity the way he wrapped this thing. He actually just started cutting out little small pieces of wrapping paper to cover the holes where he couldn't successfully wrap the rest of the present. I think he used a half a roll, honestly. It was an absolute abomination from him wrapping this gift for Dak Prescott.
That's unfortunate. That's really bad.
And the other one I had to get to, I got to put you on the spot and quiz you here.
Yeah.
Jerry Jones, this man is a billionaire. He owns the Cowboys. Jerry World is his. He has everything he could possibly want in life. Mm-hmm. So I'm very surprised to see that Jerry Jones is a McGriddle guy. He just eats McDonald's breakfast sandwiches.
I mean, the McGriddles are pretty great, if I do say so. I mean, if there was a way to make them taste the way they taste but be healthy, I would eat them all the time.
So this is great. It's Hard Knocks. You can picture it. Lee Schreiber's narrating. He goes silent. We're just in a blank room. We just have the overhead cam looking over Jerry Jones's semi-empty desk. Jerry Jones is just taking his time at opening up a McGriddle all by himself in his office. And he put a condiment on there that I was not expecting, Mike. What do you think this might have been? I know you didn't watch, so I'm curious what sort of strange condiment you could see maybe going on a McGriddle if you're billionaire Jerry Jones.
Okay, so we're talking about a strange condiment. So it's not ketchup, it's not sriracha or any kind of hot sauce like that. Mustard's a little odd. Mayo would not be. Are we more obscure than one of the main condiments?
No, it's super basic. It's actually too far in front of your nose. It's
mustard. Blew my mind, I would say it's mustard.
To find it, he actually just literally takes out. He opens up the patty of the McGriddle. He takes out a salt shaker and just pours salt all
There's
over the middle.
Already plenty of salt on this. It's from McDonald's. They dip it in salt and roll it around before they give it to you, and then they pour extra salt in the bag. So.
I knew you'd appreciate that. How wild a move is that?
First of all, salt is not a condiment.
A seasoning of sorts, yes. Just an absolutely zany move from Jerry Jones. Those are the real headlines of the first episode of Hard Knocks there for you.
Now I'd really love to see what happens if we put Jerry Jones and Donald Trump together and have them plan a dinner. What do you think we're getting there?
4-15 Big Mac combos, honestly.
Fries and diet coke. No one's leaving because we're all going to have heart attacks.
Yes, that's right.
Speaking of food, let's talk a little football food before
end with food teaser extension. Right here.
We're not actually ending with food yet. We're not there yet. But photos came out of the food at the brand new SoFi Stadium. They're up on Twitter of their marinara pizza, their hot dog, their cheeseburger sub, and their veggie burger sub.
Yeah.
I showed these pictures to my wife. And her expression was one of disgust, disdain, and just unknowing of what was happening.
It's purely disgusting, and it's horrible to see, especially because this isn't a slouch of a venue. I'm not talking about this isn't a double-A baseball
brand
venue.
New SoFi Stadium.
It's just a multi-billion-dollar complex in Los Angeles, Mike. I mean, we've got access to better food than this. And those, like, that piece of pizza goes for $15, I think. I think a lot of the subs are $12 to $15 as well, too. Again, I hate to say it for the second time, this was Firefest material type food going on here. It was extremely poorly presented and shocking.
What's sad is that the cheese wasn't melted on the cheeseburger. And, you know, McDonald's has melted cheese on everything they make.
They do. And their burger's made in about 49 seconds.
Yeah.
So, and it really doesn't take rocket science, but apparently SoFi Stadium has not quite figured it out. Their first game inviting the fans to the vendors and the concessions. They need some time to work that out.
It's, you know, at least preseason for them too, I guess. It's all right. Before we actually end with food, I want to talk about that baseball game out in Iowa.
Yes, the Field of Dreams game. Yeah. What are your thoughts on that, besides the Yankees getting their heart ripped out at the end?
Well, besides the Yankees now being the only Major League Baseball team to ever lose a game in Iowa.
Yeah, that's sad. What a stupid stat. Thank you.
The visual of the teams coming out of the corn at the beginning of the game was really spectacular. Yeah, I mean,
I definitely call for more niche venues like this.
Yeah, this was pretty awesome. And now Twitter is begging for a Sandlot game.
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
That's a natural. I'm trying to think of other baseball movie-ish themed venues where you could play this out. Lots of thoughts there. But yes, there's definitely a Sandlot game coming in the future. We can just run back the Field of Dreams game once a year, too. Just feature different teams as well, too. I highly endorse that. I enjoyed the balls just going out into the corn. That was a nice visual. Mm-hmm. A home run ball does not necessarily have to be caught or ran after by a throng of fans. I appreciated just watching it disappear in the field. So it was a very nice visual indeed.
And speaking of visuals, Fox Sports really did a great job creating specific graphics package for this game so that your score bug actually looked like it was a handheld score board that they were updating. So that was really kind of cool too.
It's the little things. We're a sucker for those little TV graphic gimmicks too. That's a good call out. Great job by everyone who put together that Field of Dreams game. Shout out to MLB. I love trashing MLB, so I'm giving them full kudos for that performance last week.
You heard it here first. We actually like what someone in Major League Baseball decided to do. But let's move off of this and let's hashtag always on the food.
Yes, now we're there. Brought to you by Toasty Snacks, makers of the Toasty Super Bites and Toasty Bites. We love them. They're our favorite golf snack. I'm running low, so I'm going to hit up our friends to get some more. You can get some more by going to toasty.com/COL and put in promo code COL20 for 20% off. It's that easy. They have amazing flavors. They're in golf courses all over the country, but they're really great for anything. They're just a good, healthy snack on the go. So check out Toasty Bites. The thing that I'm checking out is going to really irritate a lot of people right now. I saw a headline that I was waiting for so long, Mike. I jump the gun every year on this, and I'm doing it again. It feels like I'm getting 1 week earlier every time we go around the sun, Mike. Mm-hmm. But here we are. Our episode releases on Tuesday, August 17th. You may be listening on the 18th, 19th, or beyond. But while you're listening right now, it's already pumpkin spice season. That's right, pumpkin spice season, Mike. You heard it again. I'm going to shout it to the rooftops. It's back. We're here. How do you feel?
This is fucking bullshit.
Yes. An extremely early start, to say the least. Yeah, they've seemed to move this up a few days every year.
You know, pretty soon, this is going to be like the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's going to start, pumpkin spice season is going to start before the previous season ends. So
it's just going to be part of the summer package now, pumpkin spice flavoring at this point. They're jumping the gun all too early. They did it last year because of the pandemic. They wanted to give something people to get excited for.
That was fine. That was fine.
And they doubled down on it this year. It might be a little too intense, but I don't care. I'll post my way too early pictures of pumpkin spice iced coffee from Dunkin' Donuts, which launches, you heard it, that's right, Wednesday, August 18th. It's pumpkin spice season. Congrats to everyone out there. We officially made it.
I really don't care.
I appreciate how offended you are too. I love rubbing it in.
That said, I made something that maybe some people also think about in the fall, and that, you know, cinnamon raisin flavors. I think that's something that maybe is a fall flavor. I think of it all year long.
That contends in the fall.
But yeah. I could see it. People think of it as fall flavor. So I made cinnamon raisin challah this week, and it was
on a big bread kick, especially challah now too.
Well, because we bought a new cookbook that's nothing but Jewish baking recipes. Yeah, so
you're running through all the flavors.
Making my way through the book now. It's fantastic. It's amazing. I mean, what could be bad? It's cinnamon, it's raisins, it's challah. It's great.
You know, I just don't get cinnamon raisin products anymore. I don't know why it slips my memory, because I absolutely love them to death, but God, I'm such a sucker for a nice piece of cinnamon raisin bread that brings me right back to my childhood.
Cinnamon in general is one of those things that I don't think people search out, but once they have it, you know, they're all like, oh my God, this is great. It's just like Jerry Seinfeld said, cinnamon is what everyone really wants. They just don't know it, right?
Yes. So, well put. Like that. Yeah, it's the sleeper seasoning and spice that you didn't know you needed as much as you do. So shout out to cinnamon raisin challah. And again, you can check out our food photos from our adventures, both mine out and yours in baking, at Always End With Food Pod, P-O-D, on Instagram. That's a wrap on this week's Course of Life, though. We'll be back with another episode next week. Until then, everyone have a good week.